Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Second hour of Grant and Danny is underway at 12 o'clock, the Beltway Blitz. And in the 12 o'clock hour, we will see how our top five MVP candidates in the NFL differ as we compare our lists. Right now, let's preview Redskins-Jags with our Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman, who's on the Mattress Warehouse hotline. Craig, why don't we start on the injury front? Jordan Reed's obviously not playing, probably won't play again this season. Josh Doctson, though, had an injury last week in practice that cost him some time. This week now it's a concussion. He's in the protocol. I got to tell you, when you don't practice at all on Thursday, I assume you're not going to play. Are we at a point where he can be definitively said he's unlikely to go?
No. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to play, but with concussion protocol, you know, you're very, very limited and restricted in what you're allowed to do based off your symptoms and based off what level you've been cleared to. Obviously, Doctson has not made it through that initial level that allows him to participate in individual drills yet, so that's not a great sign, but Jay was optimistic yesterday that he could still potentially play. And I think, as you know, I'm not, again, not telling you Josh Doctson's awesome, but he has clearly separated himself as the best receiver on this team right now, depending on how Crowder plays week in, week out. But in terms of the outside guys, he's way better than Floyd or Mo Harris or Simi Cobbs that they would call up. So if he can go, he's going to be out there, and he's practiced well enough throughout the year that he knows the plays, even if he is not, you know, hasn't gotten a lot of reps with Josh Johnson. He actually had a couple of nice catches from Johnson last week. So Doctson is probably out, but it's not definitive. And by the way, if they win on Sunday, Jordan Reed could come back. He's not out for the season necessarily either.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, is Jordan Reed. To me, I just need him shut down. I don't see a point in having him and Colt McCoy try to rally the troops one more time for a group that's spinning their wheels and going nowhere. But what's the prognosis on Jordan Reed?
Well, remember, you get seven inactives on any given Sunday. And so you already have seven guys on your roster that aren't going to play. And so it's not like you're necessarily taking time for anyone else. There's nobody on the practice squad that's like not going to get reps or not going to get game experience that you think is going to be a star in the future that is costing them that roster spot. So if they lose and they're definitely out of it, then yeah, they should shut Jordan down, get him to the offseason healthy, and then have him come back and hopefully be like 2015 Jordan Reed next year, where he has an entire offseason to work out, feel strong, feel fast, et cetera, going into OTAs, minicamp, training camp, et cetera. Same thing with Colt. You shut him down if you lose and you're out of it. But for right now, those two guys could potentially come back week 17, and because nobody in the NFC outside of the top five teams wants to win any football games, they're still alive. And again, am I going to predict them making the playoffs? No. Absolutely not. Not the way this defense is playing. Nevertheless, the offensive line and quarterback issues. But they can't think that way, and thus keeping Jordan and Colt up is the right move for right now.
Our next segment, we're going to take some calls on Josh Johnson. We're going to play a little fill in the blank. Josh Johnson is going to, how do you fill in that blank as far as this weekend?
Be entertaining. Sometimes unnecessarily, like there's plays where he's got open guys, first read, just make the throw. Instead, he doesn't see it, turns it down, winds up running around a little bit and makes a play. And you're like, okay, well, you know, that it worked, I guess. And there's going to be some of that. There's going to be probably a couple of interceptions. He had a ball to Mo Harris on Sunday that should have been picked, where he misread man versus zone, and Mo sat down like he was supposed to, and Josh threw it out ahead of him. And you can't have that stuff. But he's going to make some throws. He's going to run around. He'll give you a chance even on some broken plays, but ultimately, is that going to be good enough? And is, you know, how is his accuracy going to be? He was pretty accurate on Sunday, but over the course of his career, you know, he could have some balls that are way high, way outside, short, you know, whatever. So my fill in the blank would be he's going to be entertaining. I don't know if he's going to be good, though.
Craig Hoffman is with us at Craig Hoffman on Twitter. Follow him and get information about the Redskins. I just keep asking you the same thing every week, but and I feel bad. We're rerunning this back. This defense, it's now there. I don't know if the right word is disconnect. I don't know if it's infighting. I know I've got my both my starting inside linebackers making headlines for the wrong reasons, for different reasons. It just seems like no one's on the same page, and it's a leaking ship, and it's sinking, and I don't know what the fix is. Maybe the fix is this god-awful Jacksonville offense that's managed 15 points over the last 2 weeks. Might that be a moment to kind of get them right here for the last couple weeks?
A Cody Kessler-led offense is a pretty good remedy. We're going to see just how strong it is. The problem is they've also got Leonard Fournette and a decent enough running game and T.J. Yeldon, and they gave up 150 yards without Saquon Barkley really playing the second half last week to Barkley, and nevertheless, however much they gave up to the other backs that the Giants had. So, yeah, I mean, the weird thing is, Danny, we asked Minuski yesterday, like, can you kind of figure out what's going on? He's like, you know, I'm trying to put my finger on it. It's like, well, you're the guy who's supposed to figure this out.
Please have your finger on it immediately.
You're the defensive coordinator. So if you don't really know, which might just be him saving his players and coach speak and, you know, not burying himself like, yeah, we got it figured out. And then his defense goes and plays like crap again. And then we're like, we thought you had it figured out. So I don't want to like read too much in it. It wasn't some definitive statement, but it also wasn't exactly confidence inspiring. I think it starts up front. The guys up front are getting pushed a little more. Although last week, Payne and Allen played pretty well, despite what we saw everywhere else. But these run fits and their missed assignments essentially on the defensive side, and it's details. You know, on the Barkley 78-yarder, DJ Swearinger plays to the wrong shoulder of the blocker. That sounds really small. It's huge. You get on the wrong side of the blocker, there's a hole, and it's details of this is my gap, and this is exactly where I'm supposed to be, and the outside linebackers have not played the run particularly well. The inside linebackers have not scraped and done their jobs. Obviously, Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix in space has not been very good, and he is also, you know, like it wasn't as bad as people wanted to make it, but it also, when he's bad, it's on big plays. So you can't be like, oh, they only had four bad plays. Well, yeah, they give up 200 yards or 250 yards in those four plays. That's kind of a big deal. So Swearinger wasn't good last week. And so there's just problems all over the place. And so trying to plug all of the holes at once has clearly been an issue. But maybe if they can just focus on the run game and not really worry about the pass because it's Cody Kessler, maybe that does get them back on track.
Craig Hoffman is our Redskins beat reporter. He joins us on Fridays at 11 to preview the upcoming game. We're breaking down the Skins and the Jaguars. You mentioned Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix. Monte Nicholson going to get a little bit more run? He will be here next year. Clinton Dix will not. It's time to start evaluating some of these young guys, isn't it?
Well, the evaluation stuff obviously comes more of when you're officially eliminated. Right now, they're trying to win football games. But I think Monte Nicholson gives you a better chance to win football games. I'll give you a couple of examples. The Barkley 78-yarder, that is a tough play in space. Ha-Ha goes four steps the wrong way and makes it even harder on himself and gives himself no shot. But most safeties in the NFL are going to struggle to both tackle Saquon Barkley in space and run with Saquon Barkley in space. And Ha-Ha did neither. But the two deep balls to Moreau, one of which was pass interference, one of which is just a completion down to about the three-yard line, Clinton Dix is a single high safety. He does not have the speed to get from the middle of the field to the sideline, and Eli doesn't even really look him off. Nicholson does, and for a defense that thrived earlier in the year not giving up the big plays, Nicholson's ability to prevent big plays in the passing game over the top with his speed and his physicality, where he might pick it or he might just drill your receiver, is a huge deterrent for quarterbacks making those throws. And so I just don't get how you can continue to justify playing Clinton Dix over Nicholson at this point because the evidence is so out there. But, I mean, they keep saying he's got some packages, he's got some this, he's got some that, but yet we don't see him. I would just flat out switch him. I would start Nicholson over Clinton Dix, and I would live with the mistakes that Nicholson makes as a young player because overall his talent and his ability to play over the top is enough for me to keep everything in front of my defense and not give up big plays.
Craig, you got to go over into that building in Ashburn nearly every day, and it is a grind, and it's not easy. I know from my secondhand experience from Grant telling me some of the stories, and I know you've got some of the same things you have to navigate. You have done your due diligence and asked to speak to Bruce Allen a number of times and, of course, have been told no or, you know, variations of no, negative, it ain't going to happen. If you were able to speak to him, say, like this afternoon, one-on-one, what would you ask him?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I think I would probably start with questions about the Reuben Foster signing. I think that is still a preeminent story that has faded into the background because there's no new developments, but there's still so many unanswered questions. There's questions about transactions that have been made from Clinton Dix to Smith that I would ask about. I think I would ask him how, more philosophically, why, like, how much does he consider fan reaction in making moves that could have a negative reaction? And does he think that, given his public persona, fair or not, is he still the right person to lead this franchise? I think that's more of actually a Dan question, but there's like some version of that. You know, does he care, frankly, about his public persona, whether that public, you know, whether that is right or wrong. But yeah, I think those are kind of the first things that come to mind, big picture wise.
Craig, thank you for the time. As always, enjoy your trip to Jacksonville.
Appreciate you, bud.
I will do my best to enjoy a trip to Jacksonville.
By the way, it's going to be warm, right? I mean, I remember going there in 60. December. Yeah, it's not bad.
It's not bad. It's not great.
It's the right time of the year to do that.
Tampa or Miami would be better, but, you know, I'll take what I can get.
Sneaky good beach near Jacksonville, like Ponte Vedra and a couple of those spots there. You have to navigate the world's largest strip mall, which is basically what Jacksonville is. Mm-hmm. But if you have a little bit of beach time, you should get in there.
Thanks, right, buddy.
I'll do my best. See ya.
See you, pal. You're in great shape.
I actually flew out to Jacksonville when I was on the beat for December game on Christmas night. You got to go back. I want to say this was like 11 or 12. It certainly wasn't 12. Probably 2011. And it actually snowed in Jacksonville's flurries.
It was December 26th, 2010, my
Ooh,
friend.
Ooh, okay.
Washington 20, Jacksonville 17.
That's right. Rob Jackson had a big sack in the game. But it definitely snowed in Jacksonville while I was there. I was like, oh, it'll be great. I'm going for the warm.
So weird, right?
And it was the first time it had snowed there. I don't remember how many months.
And I'm sure they handled it well. They knew what to do.
Oh, everyone knew. But they didn't cover the ground. It was literally flurries. But you would have thought people were coming out of their house looking up at the sky like it was the scene of a movie where it's like the last day on Earth. Like, what is this?
What are we supposed to do? It's coming from the sky.
Josh Johnson is going to what? Craig says be entertaining. How do you fill in that blank next on Grant and Danny?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. Josh Johnson is locked and loaded, ready to make his first NFL start since 2011. Last week, he threw his first passes in 7 years.
What were you doing 7 years ago? And just think about it to yourself. What was your life like 7 years ago? Imagine how much has changed. That's how long.
There's no way he thought he was ever playing in the NFL again, let alone starting an NFL game. There's just no way. He's 32, and he hadn't done it since 2011. He'd been in Cleveland, Cincinnati, San Francisco, Indianapolis, Buffalo, New York, and Houston, never once getting an opportunity to see the field. There's no way he thought now, with all those years and all those prime seasons of his career gone, he'd get his shot. But we're asking you to fill in the blank with your expectations for him, what you think you'll see from him. Here is the sentence we've concocted, and then you fill in this blank. Josh Johnson is going to what? This is what our beat reporter, Craig Hoffman, just told us moments ago.
Be entertaining. Sometimes unnecessarily. Like, there's plays where he's got open guys, first read, just make the throw. Instead, he doesn't see it, turns it down, winds up running around a little bit, and makes a play. And you're like, okay, well, you know, that it worked, I guess. And there's going to be some of that. There's going to be probably a couple of interceptions. He had a ball to Mo Harris on Sunday that should have been picked, where he misread man versus zone, and Mo sat down like he was supposed to, and Josh threw it out ahead of him. And you can't have that stuff. But he's going to make some throws. He's going to run around. He'll give you a chance even on some broken plays. But ultimately, is that going to be good enough? And is, you know, how is his accuracy going to be? He was pretty accurate on Sunday, but over the course of his career, you know, he could have some balls that are way high, way outside, short, you know, whatever. So my fill in the blank would be he's going to be entertaining. I don't know if he's going to be good, though.
Josh Johnson is going to. 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls on the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines. Danny, my answer here, Josh Johnson is going to be easy to root for. Josh Johnson's a great story.
It's really a cool story.
This dude from Oakland, California, went to college at San Diego, officially in his seventh season in the league, has actually been a member of NFL organizations dating all the way back to 2008, a decade ago. He's getting a chance that he didn't think was coming after he was drafted first overall in a league that is not the NFL a month plus ago because he'd moved on with his life. He had decided, that's not working out for me. I'm not going to get a shot. That makes him easy to root for. His style of play. He is fun. He is running around kind of creating. Mm-hmm. He is off schedule. There's nothing about him that is playbook mandated. Everything he does is kind of off script almost at this point, and he doesn't know enough of the playbook to even stick to the playbook. He's going to be easy to root for. The expectations are so low. The odds are so high stacked against him. Josh Johnson is easy to root for.
It's a good one, and that's a very positive spin on it. I like that. Josh Johnson is going to be terrible. This is not an NFL quarterback. Wonderful story. It's neat. I love that he's getting this chance. I think it's cool for him, and I'll remember it. I'll remember along with some other moments of kind of Redskins lore where the guy had to, you know, start doing the replacement style thing and go back to jail. I remember all of these kinds of things, and it's cute and it's adorable. He succeeded against the second and third string Giants in the equivalent of a fourth preseason game in the fourth quarter with nine people watching.
He came into the game, it was 40-0, and the Giants didn't care anymore.
Just played prevent, backed off, and that's all well and good. This is an NFL game. I know Jacksonville stinks. They are terrible. I don't care if they're good, bad, or indifferent. This is not an NFL player. He is a nice story, and it's awesome. Any expectation that positive yardage will happen, I think is crazy. He is going to be a disaster.
I think disaster could be strong. I expect him to play poorly. I expect the offense to do very little.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like you, I don't even think it's what we think. I think it's just common sense. No, I would say, that what we saw against the Giants was not authentic. There was nothing about that is repeatable or carries over or translates. That's not a duplicatable performance. However, because this is not a Mark Sanchez-esque pocket passer who doesn't know your playbook, I think there's a small chance that he can just run around and make a play or two. You see what I'm saying?
Like, of course I do, yeah.
If he had to just stand flat-footed in the pocket and wait for guys to get open and read defenses, then I would agree with you this is going to be a debacle of epic proportion. However, he can run. Mm-hmm. He's very fast.
Faster than I remember.
And
yeah.
I think what you're going to see is some freestyle video game stuff where he just drops back in the pocket. Now, there are going to be some holding calls because of it. There's going to be things where you're going to get a really embarrassing play that you wouldn't get necessarily if it was just a guy executing the five steps, planting and throwing. But you might get a play, let's say, where he kind of runs around a little while and throws a ball downfield for 25 yards. I think there's going to be a couple of wackies in there that make it worth watching.
Yeah, this to me is a, you know, think of naming movie quarterbacks. This is like a Willie Beeman situation, right? This is not necessarily about X's and O's. It's, you know, go to the park car and turn around, like whatever, that kind of crap. Again, it's unfair to expect anybody to thrive in this situation. Now you remove any quality skill position receivers. Jordan Reed, Dunsky, Josh Doctson probably not going to play. It's Jags at best as at wide receiver.
Yeah, so who's he throwing to? So he does have Jamison Crowder, who last week went for 79 yards on a route that was about 3 yards from the line of scrimmage, 76 after the catch. He's got him working underneath in the slot. He'll have Maurice Harris on the outside, probably with a guy like Michael Floyd.
Yeah, I mean, forgive me if that doesn't blow my skirt up. Plus, you're on your 9th and 10th right guard, left guard. Morgan Moses, the most penalized lineman in the sport. Nothing is going right for this Redskins offense. It's unfair to expect anything from anybody, let alone a guy like this that again, as you're talking about, he's going to have to do survival-type plays. You know what I mean? It's going to be nothing but, well, there's a guy in my face already. I better try to make a play.
Yeah, he didn't get sacked last week to that point. The Giants had sacked Mark Sanchez 5 times. Johnson running for his life.
Yeah.
Didn't get sacked because of his foot speed. But, again, I think they'd punted on that game largely as well. Before we get to the phones, 800-636-1067, one other thing I'd point out, doubling down on what you said about him not being an NFL quarterback. I believe that sometimes a guy who's been on the bench for a while can actually be better than everybody knows. See an A.J. McCarron, just as an example, with Cincinnati, or someone who's been in an organization for a few years. Like Colt McCoy, had he have stayed healthy, maybe would have impressed, would have had a nice little run. Mm-hmm. He knows the offense, and he's been in the building. We don't get to see him, so he's kind of out of sight, out of mind. My opinion with guys like Josh Johnson, who have been team to team to team and available, is 32 teams don't get it wrong. One team might not see something. One team might miss or get occasionally an evaluation wrong. This guy should be on the field. When 32 teams have the chance over and over and over again to pluck a guy off a practice squad, to sign a guy off waivers, are 32 front offices stupid? Generally, that's not the case. Dan, Mechanicsville, fill in the blank. Josh Johnson is going to
surprise us this weekend with a big win, man. I'm optimistic, man. I'm rolling with it. It's going to be great, man. Who else? What else we got to lose, right?
I get it. Why are you optimistic about him? What do you like about Johnson?
I mean, because this is the underdog story we need, man. No one saw this coming. I mean, I could see him going down there and just lighting it up and everybody going, wow, where did this come from? And then that would give us another great week of radio. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, you and me both. We all like good weeks of radio, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. A, I felt like a bit. But B, even if it's not, God bless your optimism, man.
That was
seriously
not a bit.
Seriously. If you can, you're looking for something to be happy about with the Redskins. If you choose to tune out all the negativity of their own creation, the normal December swoon, the swirling down the toilet bowl, and you can get excited for Josh Johnson, God bless you.
Johnson, in his Redskins debut, ran for 45 yards, passed for 195, had a touchdown and a pick. Actually rushed for a second touchdown as well, obviously. 16-0, they outscored a Giants team that had quit on the game down the stretch. Josh Johnson is going to. You're filling in that blank at 800-636-1067. We're winning off the field at 11:45. We are blitzing at noon on Grant and Danny.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Stat for every club. I don't think you're going to top this one. Washington will start a quarterback in the last 5 weeks, four different guys as of Josh Johnson this weekend. The Redskins will start their fourth different quarterback in a five-game span on Sunday. Mm. That is as good a stat, as crazy a stat, and as losing a stat, I think, as you're probably going to hear anywhere in the NFL for the rest of the year. But Johnson gets the call. What do you think he's going to do? The way we're answering it is by filling in the blank. Josh Johnson is going to. Greg Hoffman said be entertaining. I said be easy to root for. I think he's going to run around and try to make wacky plays. And I don't think it's going to go very well, but I think it's going to be fun. Danny says Josh Johnson is going to
be terrible. This is unfair to expect for anybody. If he started here in training camp, if he started here at OTAs and got a chance to work, maybe you could salvage something. But goodness gracious, it's not, let alone a guy that hasn't been in the NFL in nearly 5 years. It's ridiculous to assume anything positive could happen. It is. He's not going to be any good. I think any expectation otherwise is folly.
I do find his speed exciting. I'll say that.
He was faster than I remember because I haven't seen him play in 7 years.
It does seem like the Madden decision when you are tasked with playing with the Redskins right now and rosters are updated and it's Sanchez or Josh Johnson and you go with Josh Johnson just because you can run around and try to make some throws out of the pocket. This will be the real-life version of that. Felix Stafford, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, man.
So I think that Josh Johnson is going to be Nathan Peterman 2.0, unfortunately. He's going to succumb to the pressure of the situation that he's in, trying to press way too much since he's got this opportunity to become a starting quarterback in the NFL. and it's just not going to go his way.
I hope he's not Nathan Peterman, because then we're all in for one of the most painful Sundays we've had in a long time. And Jay Gruden may well lose his job because they can't afford another 40-point shellacking. That said, I understand the concern that the clock's about to strike midnight after what was a Cinderella performance. Shane, Dale City, you're Shane. On the fan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man.
I actually think he's going to win, and it's going to be ugly. And my reason is not because he's going to do anything good or we're going to do anything good, but because Cody Kessler is on the other side.
Yes,
and the Jacksonville Jaguars are just as bad as us, in my opinion.
They're doing the same dance down there, by the way, where they went all in. Now, granted, they had more success to build on than did the Redskins. They decided to double down on everything that was and every part of their team. Bortles gets the headlines, and rightfully so, because he stinks, and let's never forget how much he stinks, and they should never have done anything other than move on from him at once with post-haste. But every part of their team has been disappointing. They're in the same kind of boat. Now, they don't have as much embarrassment as do the Redskins, but they've got a trusted guy in their front office, a guy named Tom Coughlin. We have Bruce Allen, so we win that face-off. But Jacksonville's going through the same crap, where they are utterly disappointing. Everybody's upset. Coaches might get fired. Big changes are afoot. They're a disaster, too. That's the best argument.
I can't wait to see the picture that Michael Phillips posts of Larry Michael giving the checks and the advantages, Redskins versus their opponent.
Guess which side they're on.
To when he gives the Redskins the advantage in defense over the Jaguars.
That's right.
Who shut out the Colts 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Now, Jacksonville's defense, some weeks, you just saw them against the Titans, abysmal.
They're very up and down.
But they have had some ups in the last month that the Redskins have not had. By the way, the Giants and the Redskins were tied on the offensive check mark this past week.
That's about the same.
They both got a check. And that was before he knew that Odell Beckham Jr. wasn't playing.
Two New York quarterbacks, Mark and Eli.
Let's go to Brian in D.C. on the fan. Hey, Brian, you're on Grant and Dan.
Hey, Brian.
Josh Johnson is going to go out Sunday, run, throw, have fun, make his family proud, and just play balls to the wall. He has nothing to lose, and he's just going to go out there and have fun. And it's going to inspire the defense to play better. And it's going to motivate the team. Reds is going to finish at 9-7.
Oh, man.
They're winning
Why
out.
Should I tell you? They're going to win out because he has nothing. I mean, there's no pressure on him. Just go out there. The way he came in on Sunday, I think if they'd have started him at the beginning of the third quarter, they'd have put up more than 16 points to put us back in the game.
Well, I agree they'd have scored more than 16. Really? But, Brian, you agree that the Giants were in a defense where they were not playing at the line of scrimmage with any aggression. They weren't blitzing. They weren't using the starters they used early in the game. You agree that that was kind of a misleading 16 points.
Yeah, it was. But if he started the second half, the Giants would have put their starters back out there. And if Jay Gruden is a good coach, he would play to that man's strengths and just take some of his plays and just throw them away and say, okay, Josh, what do you do well? And let's line up and practice that this week. And let's throw people off course.
I think they're going to. I mean, he ran around a lot. They ran read option. I would not be surprised if you see read option on the first drive, and I'm with you. They need to gut some of the playbook that he doesn't have time to learn anyway and just go to him and say, what are we running? What are your favorite things to run?
So I agree with the second part. The first thing, though, I always disagree with this, where people say he's got nothing to lose. He wants to be in the NFL. He's got everything to lose. This is an audition. If he doesn't perform well, he never gets a call again. This is as pressurized as anything. I think about, where you're talking about your livelihood, et cetera. It's easy to say he's got nothing to lose.
But I think the point is that fans are not going to kill him because they're going to go, well, yeah, he shouldn't have played well. But I don't think that matters anyway. That gets you nothing when you're playing against players better than you.
Mm-hmm. That's
when you're playing against a team better than you. And it's not like Jacksonville's good, but my point is I could have nothing to lose. I could go out there. It doesn't mean all of a sudden I can win a tennis match against someone who actually plays tennis. Josh Johnson was not in the NFL for a reason. And I get that he's an all-world athlete, 99th percentile on the planet.
Of course,
he's a quarterback better than a dude in Section 317. But I'll give you another example. Kevin Hogan, who the Redskins released at the end of the cutdown period, and he went and got claimed by somebody else. If they brought him in this week and he played, we're just going to expect him. He's going to have a great game because he has nothing to lose. A lot of guys have had nothing to lose, and they've been terrible because they can't hack it. Neil, Columbia, how's it going?
Hey, Neil.
It's going all right. So Josh Johnson will turn in a middle-of-the-road performance, and that'll be enough for us to squeak out a win. He'll go for maybe two touchdowns and two interceptions, maybe run for touchdown, and that'll get the job done. He won't light it up, but he won't be Mark Sanchez bad either, and that's going to be enough because we're playing the Jaguars. We're playing Cody Kessler at quarterback.
Appreciate you, dude. Yeah, again, the other part of this, and Bickle was talking about it this morning on the Junkies, we have to remember how much Jacksonville sucks as well. They are really, really bad. They are a huge disappointment. Guys are quitting. Guys aren't playing very hard. Some of those moments on that Thursday night football game last week against Tennessee were just every bit as embarrassing as what the Redskins did this past weekend against the Giants. So in that sense, the Redskins are in the game. If they, you know what I mean? From this point, they've got a chance because Jacksonville has the same DNA as the Redskins do right now, which is infighting, disaster, quitting.
Well, but I also love the idea. I'm not saying that caller did it, but I've heard this a bunch now, that, well, Cody Kessler's terrible, so Josh Johnson's going to be fine. It's like a guy who's 370 pounds pretending like a guy who's 335 is fatter than him. Cody Kessler was drafted in the third round 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that was a good draft pick. I don't think it was. But the idea that Josh Johnson is better than Cody Kessler somehow is just not correct. One of them, if the Jags cut him right now, would be claimed by four or five teams to be a backup quarterback. If Josh Johnson was not a Redskin, he would probably never get another call in the NFL again. At least he's more athletic and he runs around and he can make more plays with his feet, and that's the hope. 800-636-1067. Calls are hopping, so why don't we stick with it? Josh Johnson is going to... We could try to figure out crowbarring in a winning off the field before the end of next segment as well. We're blitzing at noon on G&D.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Hopefully you enjoyed the Chiefs and the Chargers last night. Redskins-Jaguars is going to look a little different on Sunday.
You might imagine with the over-under set at 36 points, which, by the way, looks like a huge number for these two teams.
Also, that's such a tiny over-under.
It's embarrassing.
It does look high for these two teams, but 36 points is such a low number. You don't see numbers that low very often.
Next closest is Detroit and Buffalo, 39.5.
That's hilarious.
Which is also very low. Everyone else is in the 40s or 50s.
I think I would take the under, by the way. Because I'm counting on, let's see. I'm thinking a 20-13 Jaguars win, something like that.
So 33.
But maybe a 17-10 Jaguars win.
There's one long run by a Jag running back in there where nobody touches anybody.
Honestly, I can also see Jacksonville hanging 27. Because my guess is that this is the prescription that the Redskins defense has needed for the rash that is growing all over it. And this is going to be the ointment that ends it because the Jags offense is so terrible. But they need to have one game where they don't drop passes, where they run crisp routes, where they just act like an NFL offense, and that should get you mid-20s points against Washington. But right now, we're focusing on the Redskins' offense and quarterback Josh Johnson. He'll be the fourth guy they start in a five-week stretch at the QB position.
Crazy.
Smith, McCoy, Sanchez, now Josh Johnson. We're filling in the blank. Josh Johnson is going to be what? 800-636-1067. Danny says terrible. I say fun to... Craig Hoffman says, fun to watch, and I say, easy to root for. Let's go to Tom in Manassas. Hey, Tom, what's up?
Tom.
Hey, morning, guys. He is going to be better than Mark Sanchez, ? I hope so. It can't get much worse. Yeah, I think this game's going to come down to who quits more on either team. So
who quits
faster? I mean, it really is. Yeah, we might need some West Coach West Texas Paulson in there to get a hat on a hat and get that heart. You got to want it more than the next guy.
Do you want a seventh win, Tom? How bad do you want a seventh win? I know over there, they don't want that win. I know that. Do you want one? Do you want brisket? Do you want brisket? Then play hard.
Just unrelated Texas things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, do you want to put a cowboy hat on? You're like, just saying things.
Everything's bigger in Texas. Who wants the boots? We never sent Sean Kelly. If you want them, you got to play hard. Eric's in Alexandria. Eric, Josh Eric. Johnson is going to be.
Hey guys, I think he's going to lose, but it's only because the chemistry. There's no real timing. I mean, there's no time for him to get the timing down with the receivers to know who's the fastest receiver, how good they are, or whatever, who he can really depend on when trouble time comes. I think he's going to lose in those aspects, and that's going to lose the game for him. If the defense can stop Jaguars from scoring, I think we'll win. But I think he's going to lose. And I don't understand what's wrong with Colin Kaepernick at this point.
Well, there's three games left. I mean, I guess you could bring in Colin Kaepernick if you want to.
We could be having the same discussion. You're going to win. Maybe do you win one more game? Does that really help you? I don't know.
Here's what's wrong with Colin Kaepernick. He might be Josh Johnson plus some, right? A rich man's Josh Johnson. And he comes with a lot more headaches, and he's a much bigger problem to deal with from a standpoint of not just the media, but here's what people forget. You can disagree all you want to, and I can disagree all I want to. Frankly, if you want to get into it, I do, with people who don't want him to play again because he took a knee. They still exist. Their money still matters to Dan Snyder. Whether or not they get angry and they burn their Redskins jerseys or not, which a lot of people would do, as dumb as that is, that matters.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact is, Michael Jordan had a great quote about selling his shoes where he goes, Republicans buy shoes too?
Yep.
Dan Snyder has to take into account with every decision, how many members of my fan base am I alienating right now? And if the answer is a lot of them, then you'd better damn well be doing something that really helps you. Not bringing in a guy that can't help you that much for the final three games of a lost season. Why is that juice worth the squeeze?
And the extra point I would add to it, and this isn't even a reflection of Kaepernick himself, look at what the Redskins have been doing for the last month. Watch how they handle public relations.
Yeah.
Has it been a banner time? Has everything gone well?
No, they're really good at it.
Well, now it's not just local reporters. Now the entire world has a million questions a million times over, and everything about you is now in the spotlight.
Honestly,
the Redskins can't handle that.
The people that keep coming back to Kaepernick, you got to sign Kaepernick, you got to sign Kaepernick. It's just a political thing at this point. I would like to see him get back into the league like you would. There's probably a fit somewhere at the beginning of next season. I'd like to think he could play in the NFL. This is not the fit. It makes no sense whatsoever. None right now. It's actually probably the single worst fit because of how they can't handle PR situations. Because of how they are vilified right now for decisions they've already made, because they have a fractured fan base already that would further fracture. And again, they have three games left. He would know very little of your offense. You could do the Josh Johnson bit with him if you want to and just lose games with him out on the field, but at least you pissed off a bunch of people to lose the games. I just don't understand that. And again, you can say correctly, in my opinion, well, those people shouldn't be pissed off. You're allowed to say that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if they should or shouldn't be. If you're Dan Snyder and the bottom line is affected or you lose more fans from a fan base that is already falling apart.
Yeah, you're
in
already
droves.
Losing fans, whether you like it or not.
So that's what's wrong with signing Colin Kaepernick. Eddie in Remington, how are you?
Hey, I got a win off the field, if that's all right.
Sure.
You can call a guy bro, bra. You can call a guy brew. Well, I got a new way to greet my friends. Brucey.
That's a good bit. By the way, why are you showing up as Eddie and Remington on the call screen?
What is that? Is that an alter ego?
When you're actually Matt and Stafford.
Hey, Josh Johnson is going to lead the Redskins to the playoffs. You know, I've seen him flash in the preseason for the Steelers. I saw him do okay for the Buccaneers. And the other guys, they're going to get some energy off of that, and it's not going to take a lot to steal a wild card spot.
It was our mistake. That, of course, is not Matt and Stafford.
No, because, that's definitely Eddie and Remington.
Yeah, because Matt,
I thought it sounded like him a little bit.
Yeah, that's our
mistake. But it's clearly Eddie and Remington.
No, so, it's just a regional accent. There's a lot of people that are down there to sound that way.
So to Matt's boss, that was not Matt and Stafford calling in. We don't want him to get in any trouble. That was Eddie in Remington.
Eddie. Definitely
from
not Matt and Stafford.
Okay. I know it wasn't Maddie. It had to be Eddie.
That's our mistake.
It did at first sound like him, but by the end, I knew it wasn't Matt Stafford.
Clearly.
It was obviously not him. Rob in Gainesville.
Hey, fellas. Really love the show.
Appreciate you, Rob.
Yeah, really love the show, fellas. And listen, Josh is going to be competitive because I feel like he's only one of the few players or coaches who is playing for his job. And the sad thing is, I don't even think Jay Gruden thinks he's coaching for his job. So I think he'll be competitive because he's hoping to get a position next year.
Appreciate you, bud.
Yeah, he is absolutely right now coaching for his job. Dante Bowie, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, dude.
I think that Redskins fans are being typical Redskins fans, and we're getting overly excited. We just need to calm down a bit. Josh Johnson is going to be horrible on Sunday. I think everyone's getting overexcited about his ability to scramble and make plays. And I think we're forgetting that this Jacksonville defense is good. They do have something to prove because they were embarrassed last time they were out on national TV.
True.
But my question to you guys is, Mark Sanchez was pulled last game because he did horrible. So if Josh Johnson does horrible, do we go back to Sanchez?
Or do I don't know.
Honestly, I think it depends on situation. If they're down 23-0 at the half, yeah, you go to Sanchez. For the same reason you went to Johnson, because it's a change of pace. It's not what you prepared for.
It's let's try something else.
Exactly.
Why not? What are you going to do, lose the game?
Yeah. You're pulling a goalie in the second period to try to create a spark. So, yeah, I would do that. And then the next week, I would start Sanchez and go to Johnson at halftime when you're down 20-0.
My point is, when you go to that, when you look around the sideline, if Jay Gruden snaps his headset off out of frustration, he turns and looks around, there is no good answer. There's no good answer. Do what you feel like. Have fun with it. Explore the space.
I want to see Jay take a snap before the end of the year.
He lost his third quarterback, Jordan Reed, who threw a hell of a ball cross field to Chris Thompson.
Arena Football League Gruden. Beltway Blitz on the Redskins. The Nationals, halfway through their offseason, we will figure out what they're looking like and what they still need to do. And the Capitals getting back to action tonight. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
No matter what the Redskins do this weekend, you can still be happy. I've found a way to do it, even though they make me miserable every week. Go to my guys at Ted Britt Ford. They're the best, Jerry. The best. The 2018s, they got to go. Now is their time. And you know what benefits? You, the consumer. You'll get an unbelievable deal on a brand new 2018 car, truck, or SUV. Because the 2019s, they need the space, frankly. The 2018s have to go. You will get an unbelievable deal. I'm going to go through some of these. You're not going to believe them. How about $11,000 off the MSRP? Take that MSRP in the face. In the face! 0% financing for 60 months. $9,500 off the MSRP on a new 2018 Expedition. How about $8,500 off the MSRP on an Escape? $7,500. What's that? What'd you say, Dave?
I own a Mustang.
Ooh, you could get one. You can get one. How about a Mustang for $7,000 off the MSRP?
A Mustang.
That's right. You could do that. You're rude, Danny. You're interrupting me. Where was I?
Oh, I own a Mustang.
$7,500 off the Edge. And again, all those 0% financing for 60. You can do it. Trade in your old bus to get a brand new ride. 2018 has to go. It's Ted Britt Ford. Go see him and tell him. I own a bus.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.